are on the way, way, way bottom of Tzadi Tessim, a base. Let's just remind ourselves what the Mishnah said, and then we'll go from there. So the Mishnah said, on Daf Tzadi Tessim, a base, Shum ha-dayanim she-pichsu shtus o-hosifu shtus michran batal. So if the Bezdin is selling someone's property, so they say they're selling the property in order to, you know, make sure that they're selling the property of the person who passed away in order to provide mizonos for his wife, for his wife, for the children, things like that. So when Bezdin sells the property, I mean, we just talked about the fact that before this, how sometimes the wife sells the property, and when she sells the property, if she's off even by 1%, so that's enough already to make the sale, you know, nullified, because she's selling the property that otherwise belongs to the Yorshim. So if Bezdin sells the property and they're off by a sixth, right? So one way or the other, so the Tanna Kamma says the sale's nullified because they over undersold. Shingulil Omer Mechran Kayim. Shingulil says, no, the Mechr still works. Why is that? Because Im Kain Makoch Bezdin Yafim. We're going to see more about this as we move along. Because if you nullify the sale of Bezdin, so then people are not going to trust Bezdin. They're not going to, the power of Bezdin, you know, is weakened when we, you know, override or overrule their sales. Okay. Aval Im Asu Igeris Bikores Beinehem. But if they made a declaration, Rashi says, Hachraza. Right, and why is it called bikores? Because the bikores means like an investigation. So Rashi says, "Lashon bikores shemevakrin osa bnei adam adi acharaz." When someone says, "You know, property for sale," so what do people do? They show up. It's an open house, right? They show up and they start trying to understand what's happening in that place. So when they make that type of declaration, so then afilu michro shavim mana b'masayim, even if they're 50% off, right? Oshav Masayim Bimana Mechran Kaim, or 100% off, right? That they sell something for 100 for 200, or 200 for 200 for 100. So then the Mechira, that everyone agrees is going to work. And we'll have to see why that makes a difference. Fine. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Yibayalehu Shliach Kaman. So which one's a Shliach? Right? So we said if the woman sells her husband's property and is off by a tiny amount, so the Mechira is Batal. If Bezdin sells and is off a sixth, so then that's when Tanna Kamma says the mechir is batal. But even there, the Rav Shmuel Gamliel says the mechir is good. So when the shliach sells someone else's property, so then where do they fall? You know, which category do they fall into? Right? Rashi says shliach keman, shliach deta, a shliach who makes a mistake. Keman, who's he like? Dayanin le kamana. Is he like the woman who loses her husband, right? Kiman dayanin le kamana dayanin le shebetaus kolduhu batel, right? Kidisnan shavamana v'dinar b'mana mechir batel, like the almana who's off by even a dinar and the mechir is not good. Oh, kedayanin, kedayanin who. The adita b'shtus, right? Or is he like the Bezdin, that like the judges, and we wait till he's a full, you know, sixth off before we're going to make his, mistake make a difference. So Rava Amar Rabbi Nachman, Shliach Kidayanin, right? Rava says, the name of Nachman, the Shliach is like the Bezdin, right? And therefore, he gets more leeway to make a mistake. Shmuel Bar Bisna Amar Rabbi Nachman, Kamana. So Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna quotes Rav Nachman saying, "No, that he's like the shliach is like the almana, and even a small mistake is enough to knock out the mechira." So Rav Amar Rav Nachman. Just to be clear, we're talking about two different people who are quoting Rav Nachman. So we'll have to see what he would, you know, Machlok is what he said. So Rav Amar Rav Nachman shliach kedayanin ma dayanin lav ledid hu af shliach nami lav ledid hu. Right. So the first opinion, Rav says that Rav Nachman's opinion is that he's like. Judges, why? Because dayanin are not working on their own behalf, right? They are selling the property on someone else's behalf. Namely, they don't have anything to gain. Right? They have no personal bias, personal gain. So they make a mistake. It's still an honest mistake. We can assume it is because they have nothing. They have no skin in the game, right? So shliach also, right? He has no interest in making a mistake, and therefore, and that's why he's treated like the. Like the dayanim, and mistake is less, you know, we give him more leeway. La fuke amana de ledita, right? As opposed to the widow, for she in her situation, the mistake can help her, right? If she sells it for more money, she makes more money. Rav Shmuel bar Bisna, I'm Rav Nachman ke Almana. No, he said Rav Shmuel bar Bisna says that Rav Nachman said that the shliach is like the Almana. Why? Ma Almana yichida af shliach yachid. Right? That both of them are individuals. Right? The Bezdin is making decisions together to a whole bunch of people. And also they have a certain responsibility within the community, as opposed to the shliach is one person. It doesn't nullifying the one individual's mechira doesn't have far-reaching repercussions. So therefore his mistake is treated like the Amman's mistake, even a small mistake. We nullify the sale. Like fuke bezdin the rabbim ninu, as opposed to the bezdin, which is a lot of people, and it serves the community. Okay, v'hilchas hashliach kamana, and we paskin that taka the shliach is treated like a yachid, like an amana, and therefore his mistake is. Even a small one makes the sale nullified. Okay, so it says, "Really, umashnam ehadis nan hamil shlucha otzei v'trom torim kidas balabayis." All right, we've had this mission before, and it comes up a lot. It's kind of a classic mission that talks about sending a shliach to do a mitzvah for you. So you send the shliach to take truma, right? So he's what is it, how does he? We've noted before that truma can be taken either 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, right? And most people, the baininess, the middle ground is to take 1/40th, 1/50th. But we don't know, if he goes, if the balabai says to him, go take truma, so how does he know how much to take? He didn't tell him. So he should try to have in mind to do what the balabai's mindset would be. If he doesn't know what the mindset of the balabai is, tarim bebaininess, right? Echa mechamishim. So he should take the middle road and take 2%, right? One out of 50. If he takes 1/40th or 1/60th, truma's a truma, it's still good, right? So if that's true, that he makes a mistake, right? Ten off, right? One way or the other, his truma is still truma. So how could that be? You just tell me that shliach is like an almana, and that means that even a small mistake, right, nullifies his shlichus. Right? It makes his mechira no good. So in this case, it isn't mechira, but his transaction should be off because he made a mistake. So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what the difference is." Hasam keva the ika de torim ba'ain ra, v'ika de torim ba'ain yafe. Amalei lahachi am deticha. Right, meaning here in the case of truma, it's a little different. In either direction, right, piches asar hosu asar are still amounts that people take. Right, that's still an amount that a person can decide to take for truma. It's not like this huge. It's huge blunder. This huge mistake. It's a normal amount. It's within normal range, right? So you wouldn't even call it necessarily a mistake. It happens to be not what the balabais had in mind, but it's a reasonable zone within which to be making a decision, right? So, so the shliach can argue, this is what I assumed you wanted. What do you want from me? I tried. You didn't say, so I went within the normal range and had to choose one way or the other. Avahacha ta'usahu. But in this case, in our case, we're talking about, selling a property for undervalued or overvalued. It's just a mistake, right? It's amalei lo yibay lecha lemite, and mishaleach, right? The balabais can say to the shliach, I have no interest in you making a mistake. You have to sell for the correct price, right? Check the property on Zillow before you go to sell it. So like, don't make sure you're not off, right? And he didn't do that. So that's why this is different. Which, by the way, probably would imply even there's not like if he's selling the property, selling the shliach selling the property of his mishaleach. There's probably even there probably some reasonable range, right? It's not like one number
because there's no kind of fixed market in the time.
Exactly,
go to Zillow. And
there's
see
no
what
fixed
it is.
Number. Exactly, it's like off one. I mean, from what? So right. There's got to be some way to measure it. So the truth is like it's not an exact science. But so even the 40th, 50th, 60th is a range, and these mistakes are presumably outside of that range. Presumably, that's what we're talking about. But fine, okay. Because even a shliach who would go and take truma and he'd take 10%, probably would be his shlichus would be nullified, right? L'chora. So we're talking. It's more about the reasonableness of the mistake, presumably. But okay. Okay, so Amar Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman Halacha Kadivri Chacham. Fine. So that was in terms of whether the whether the shliach is like the aman or the shliach is like Bez Din, and we assume the shliach is like an aman. Fine. And we backed it up. So now, returning to our Mishnah. So our Mishnah, the question was, the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rishim Gamliel, right? When the Dayanim, they make a mistake in their calculations, and they're off by 1/6, he said the Mechir is brought down, excuse me. Rishim Gamliel says the Mechir is kaim because he became Makoch Beis Din Yafeh. So Amr Funa Bar Chanina, Amr Nachman Halachik Devi Chachamim, that yet even if they're off Ashtus, I don't care, the Mechir is still good. Why? Because we care about the Bez Din having, that Rishim Gamliel says we care about Makoch Beis Din Yafeh. So we pass the Chachamim who say, sorry, like I said the opposite. We pass the Chachamim, he says, Rav Nachman says, that what? That if you're off by Ashtos, Mechir is no good. Fine. That we can sometimes nullify Bezin sale if it's really off by a lot. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So says Gemara, but Leislay Rav Nachman, Makoch Bezin Yafeh? I don't know. Rav Nachman doesn't care about this idea of sort of protecting the integrity of Bezdin. It doesn't matter to him. V'am Rav Nachman, Amr Shmuel. Yisom Mishabal Lachlok Menichzei Avien. If the Yisom, Rav Nachman himself says, in the name of Shmuel, that if the Yisomim come to split up the property of their father, Bezdin Ma'amidin Lehen Apachavit. So Bezdin goes ahead and sets up an executor, someone who's gonna figure out, who's gonna serve in there, be like their, their go between, and make sure that they each get the right amount. Ubor lehen chelik yafeh, right? And so while they're katanim, so the apotropis sort of takes responsibility. And what's the English word for apotropis?
A guardian.
Guardian. Okay. Yeah, and he goes ahead and makes sure that each one of them is gonna get what they need. Right? Rashi even says, apotropis, the second line from the top, the kol echad ve'echad mina katana, right? Each one of them gets like a representative, right? Who makes sure that each one of them, bar and lehen, kol apotropis latinok shalom, right? Each one makes sure that they're katan, that their yasom gets the right amount. Fine. Okay. So then, and that mission continues, higdilu, so what happens? So they have an apotropis, takes care of their what they're supposed to get. What happens if they get older, they become bar mitzvah, yechol nimchos, right, they can go ahead and they can say, this is wrong. My apotropis totally messed me over. He made bad choices for me. That wasn't good. Why did he make those decisions? I disagree. I want something different. Right? Rabbi Nachman, the day Amar, he dilu einichal nimchos. And Rabbi Nachman himself is the one who said that when they get older, they're not allowed to argue. Why? Because imkay makoch beizin yafeh. Because if so, the Bach gets rid of the word imkain. But, he doesn't actually. De'imkain, sorry. De'imkain, ma'koch bezin yafeh. Because otherwise, again, you're destroying the integrity of the Bezdin. So you can't do that. So here, Rav Nachman says, ma'koch bezin yafeh. But nevertheless, in our Mishnah, when the opinion that cares about ma'koch bezin yafeh, the integrity of the Bezdin, that's Rishim Gamliel, and Rav Nachman says we pass him against Rishim Gamliel. So which one is it? Does he believe in Mekim Makoch Beis Din Yafeh, or does he not believe in it? What's going on here? So answer the Gemara, lo kasha. Ha de lo to. No. So he says, no, what are you talking about? The case of our Mishnah, where we say, Pasnei Chachamim, and we don't say Mekim Makoch Beis Din Yafeh, that's because they made a big mistake. Right? If they make a big mistake, so then we're not going to say Makoch Beis Din Yafeh. A mistake is a mistake. The Gemara says, okay, if they didn't make a mistake, then what do they eat lo tau b'mayichon limchos? So meaning, but in art, but in the case here of the Yisom, there's no mistake. There's no mistake. Then what are they arguing about? What are they putting up what are they upset about? So answer the Gemara, beruchos. No, they're not upset about, the katan can't come and say, you got not enough property, you sold it for the wrong amount of money, etc. You can say, I got property in the wrong spot, in the wrong place, meaning the Rashi. Baruchos, tov li litol chelki b'mizrach, sheyesh li etzla sada shenafal li mibesa avi imi. Right? So Yosef can say, look, you gave me property in the northeast quadrant of the field, and that's no good for me because I have other property in the southeast quadrant of the field. So the Yosef can say, can we swap the fields that were given because the amounts were no good. The amounts are fine, right? They didn't make a mistake. It didn't make sense to give me that field because it should. We always talk about this, right? We want the fields to overlap, to be connected to each other. That's a big value add for for landowners, and that's why. So the request to make a change is not that they made a mistake. It's just that he wants to switch. Fine, and therefore no problem. Rabbi Nachman does hold that from came back home based in Yafa, but not in cases of mistakes. Just in cases of shifting the way things were given out. Fine. Okay. So he also Rabbi Amar. Mr. Rabbi showed up from Eretz Yisrael. So he said, "Maisa v'asa Rabbi kedivrei chachamim." So he said, "So I saw that there was such a scenario, and Rabbi did like the chachamim, meaning that the chachamim said that someone had over or undervalued by a sixth, and they mevata the mechira." So I'm gonna fun of Parta benosh Rabbi Elazar ben Parta ben benosh shel Rav Parta hagadol. So Parta, who's the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, who was the son of, Parta Senior. So he said, "Im kain ma koch beis niyafe." He said to him, "What do you mean? You pass him like the chachamim in this case, and you mevata the mechira of a bezdin? Really? What about ma koch beis niyafe? You don't care about that?" V'hichze Rabbi as hamaisa, and Rabbi changed his mind. He went back and he actually reversed his psak, and he re-established that mechira because he didn't came back over based in Yafe. Rav Dimi Masnihachi, Dimi told a story like that, but Rav Safra Masnihachi, Rav Safra had a different way of telling this, telling over this story, and he said Hachi Maisa. Well, this is what happened. Ubikesh Rebbe Lasos Kedivrei Chachamim. That Rebbe was about to, right? He didn't actually pass like the Chachamim, but he was about to pass like the Chachamim. Again, to nullify a sale of the Bezdin that was a sixth off. So I'm the fun of Parta Benosh, Rabbi Lazar ben Parta ben Benosh, Rabbi Parta Gadol. Again, the Parta Junior, who is the grandson of the third level Parta Hagadol, he said him came back home based in Yafet. And then he said to him, "What are you doing? So Bezdin's integrity is going to be questioned." So lo asa Rabbi is a Maisa. So in that case, Rabbi didn't do the Maisa. So the question was basically, was the case that Rebbe had done it and then he was choser, or the case was that Rebbe had wanted to but retracted before he ever actually passed it? Okay, so the question, of course, is going to be, what's the difference between the way you read the two cases? Right, lame v'hakabivlegi mar savar tabed var mishnah choser uma savar eino choser. So what could you say? The machlokas is when he actually made the mistake already. Right, if you make the mistake, do you say tabed var mishnah goes back? And that's why the first way of reading the story is that he actually made a mistake, right? And he's able to go back. And the other side holds that no, when you actually, once you've already made a mistake, then you can't go back anymore. And that's what the story is. Not that he made a mistake and was chozer. The story was he wanted to and was chozer, because if he actually made a mistake, he wouldn't be able to go back. Right, look at Rashi. Lame b'ha'pligi Rav Dimi Rav Safra. That's Machlokas Rav Dimi Rav Safra. Rav Dimi Savar Dayan Hatoeh B'Dvar Mishnah. Shalo asa kemishna choser, right? Meaning, tarot by mishna means like you made a mistake on something that's like beferish, right? It's literally, there's a mishna beferishes that says something and you make a mistake on that thing, right? So Rav Dimi holds that a dayan who makes a mistake in Dvar Mishnah didn't do what the mishna says, he can go back. V'lomrinan masha asa asway, right? V'yishalim beso. We don't say, the psak is what it is. And then, but even we say Masha Asa Asoi, what has to happen? The Dayan has to pay for it. Right? So if he made the Psak, and now, Reuven has to pay Shimon $1,000, but he made the Psak already, and it was a mistake in the Devar Mishnah, so what would we have said? Sometimes we say that Masha Asa Asoi, but the Dayan has to pay, Reuven back the money, that he, Shimon keeps his $1,000, but the Dayan has to pay him back because he made a mistake. So Rav Dimi said, we only say that. And that's only when he makes a mistake in logic, right? Kamoshim Mefurish with Sanhedrin. Behind now, maybe the Dvar Mishnahu. Sha'afabisha Nechaku Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, Harinasan Tam Advarav. Right? So this, you'd say the same thing. This was a, it wasn't just a Dvar Mishnah, but this was like a, a real, just logic, right? Safra She'eno Shona. She'eno shona asa v'hichzer savar im asa lo hayach halachzer. And Rav Safra holds the other way. He told the story that he didn't actually do anything. Why? Because he holds that once he would make the mistake, the psak would be what it is, and then the diamond have to pay. Fine. So, yeah.
Stupid question.
It's not stupid.
Was this the way society worked, that the Beis Din would issue an opinion and then the Rav had to validate it? Or, you know, because if he didn't agree with it, he could nullify it?
L'chora was that the Beis, I don't know exactly, but L'chora the way it would work is that for the most part, you go to Beis, the Beis makes a psach and it's over.
That's what I would think.
But sometimes a psach would come through. Yeah, sometimes a psach would come in and everyone would be like, that doesn't make any sense.
But you wouldn't appeal to either a greater Beis Din or back to that?
I don't know exactly. I assume that for the most part, Beis Din made a psak and that was the end. But just like any, you know...
If Din Maimonides are three judges, you go to a five-judge panel, you go to a seven-judge panel, you know...
I don't know if there's like a regular appeals process. I'm not sure if there's a regular appeals process, but it does sound like there could be scenarios where... The understanding was that if a Beis Din made a decision that was so blatantly a mistake that there was they could go back and say to the Beis Din, it sounds like you made a mistake. And it wasn't like...
But it doesn't sound like they went back to the Beis Din. It says that they went, like, right? They went to the Rav who may or may not have nullified this decision.
But it was the Rav who was on the Beis Din, right?
I
don't
know.
It was the person who made the decision, I think.
Why do you ask that? Like, what here is giving you that impression?
Well, when if Rav was about to...
It's a Meiser Shehaya.
Like the first case in this
Oh, case. You're saying they came to Rebbe.
Yeah. And he was about... Either he did or he was about to nullify the decision.
Right, it sounds like Rebbe was going to nullify the decision of the Beis Din.
It sounds like he's outside the Beis
Din. Yeah, I mean, he was Rebbe Anasi. So there were certain people who...
I mean, he could have been on the Beis Din. Right. No saying that he wasn't.
But I understand. It's an outside person. Like, how does that work?
Right.
Who decides? When the outside person's psak...
Right.
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. Let's see. We will find out a little bit. That's a good question. I'm not sure.
It's also not convenient between the two different versions of the story, maybe, because in the second version, he didn't issue the pesach. He was approached before, and that's why he didn't issue that pesach.
Well, but the case, though, is that, but he wanted to nullify the case.
Mm-hmm.
And he was warned not to. But it sounds like he... But the point that Arnold's making is that it sounds like Rebbe is not himself part of that Beis Din. Rebbe is like an outside posek making a decision.
I'm just thinking the second.
Who gives that one outside posek the decision to nullify the position of another Beis Din? That's sort of your question, right?
Right. I'm just saying in the second version.
Yeah.
He didn't issue the psak yet. That's enough for me to between the two.
No, but the psak is a psak after Beis Din had made a psak.
I'm just asking, isn't the whole Nafkamina between... The Gemara gives two different versions of the same story, and the slight nuanced difference between the two is then in the second one, the Rebbe changed his mind before the actual psak was issued by the court, and that's the difference, as opposed to the first version where he had to go, somebody had to go and change it.
So it sounds like you're saying in the second one that he was on the Beis Din, and he...
Possibly.
And he had a communication, which he should have had.
Yeah, well, the point is, the Beis Din made a mistake.
The Beis Din had already made the mistake. They had sold the property at the wrong price.
Right, so they made a mistake. So, okay, Beis Din makes a mistake. Okay. You overrule the Beis Din.
Right.
You have to follow the Beis Din.
So your point is, does that mean,
does the rub of the ear have the authority to
overrule Beis Din?
Right. Is that standard process?
So what it seems like is they issued the mechira already. And then some outside person comes and says, like, it's just an obvious mistake.
Right.
And so maybe in those cases, I'm not sure, you don't need to, as long as you had someone who was a bar hachi, right, someone who was of caliber to make to make that conclusion, was and who determines that? People had smicha, whatever. The people who had that authority could come and say, guys, I have documentation or whatever it is. That's right, to prove the mistake. But if they can prove the mistake, the question becomes, okay, now that we can prove the mistake, what do we do? That's what I would say, I think. Let's just finish up to the two bats. So, fine. So the Gemara says, lo. Maybe that's the machlokas, right? Do we say, you know, Tavid Var Mishnah, etc.? So Gemara says, no. Lo, the Kuliyama Tavid Var Mishnah Choser. Now, everyone agrees that if you Tavid Var Mishnah, the psak goes back. You made a mistake on Mefurash Mishnah. Umar Savar Hachi Hava Maisa, Mar Savar Hachi Hava Maisa. They just had different versions of the story. This is just which matters, but it was a different version of the story. So Amar of Yosef, it's fine. So now Amar of Yosef, Armelasa an Almana the Zvina, if she sells property, Achrayus the Yasme, right? She makes it. If she sells, So who takes the responsibility if now it turns out someone else has a lien on that property and someone has to come collect? So who's the kriya collecting from? From the Yisomim, because she's selling the property that otherwise goes to the Yisomim. And when Bezdin sells, Achraya say Yasme, same thing. If Bezdin sells, also the Achraya is on the Yisomim. If they sell property that was, again, had a lien on it. So Pshita, Amana Lachichalai. Yeah, that's obvious. Amana, I don't need that. That's obvious. Because she's selling the property that the Yisomim otherwise is going to get. Ki Yisrichlei, Beidina, what do I need? If I need it for when the Bezdin sells, right? Because it's about the same. What might I have thought? Called the Zavim, Medina, died to the Mefak like Kala, who the Zavim. I think that any person is purchasing from Bezdin, so that's the assumption that there's a coal that goes out, that Bezdin's selling property, so they would have, there'd be no reason to ever be able to be able to collect later if it turns out there was a lien on it. So Kamashalan, then no, that even when Bezdin sells a property, the Yisomim are still on the hook. Fine, so we'll stop here, and we'll pick up with Bezdin.
Again, I think.